go on a Friday. Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, it is Veterans Day. We want to send out a very, very hearty thank you to all the men and women who put on the uniform, put on, took the oath, and raised the right hand. It is Veterans Day 2022.
I second that.
There you go. All right. The Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Hard to believe we'll be wrapping up 12 years with the radio show already at the end of the year and launch into Lucky 13 in January. And that will also put us into our 35th year on TV and radio here in Tucson. The Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Big shout out on Friday are some of our media sponsors, Dylan Smith and his team at TucsonSentinel.com. Thank you. Green Valley News, Saharita Sun, to Dan Shear. Thanks, Dan. Tucson Local Media Group and its portfolio of publications, which includes Inside Tucson Business, Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. With us in studio today, we have a guest co-host. Try to do that every Friday. Some from the media, a guest co-host, Kurt Prendergast, opinion page editor of the Arizona Daily Star, who is very happy the election is over. Hey, Kurt, thanks for coming in.
Thanks so much for having me.
And our Friday Focus interview, United States Representative Raul Grijalva, Tucson Democrat, who cruised to an easy victory in Congressional District 7. It's about a 2-1 victory for the congressman, a newly drawn CD7, which is really a huge district. West half of Tucson, the Tohono O'odham Nation, parts of Cochise County, west to Yuma, north into the Phoenix suburbs, the western suburbs, and south to Nogales. How are you, Congressman?
I'm well, thank you. And, like Kurt, I'm glad it's over. Mm-hmm. I think the ups and downs of this election cycle were frequent, and I think what happened is something that I personally am very gratified, and I was slightly surprised that Democrats across the country and here in Arizona in this razor edge kind of elections that are going on and results that we're waiting for did very well, given what was predicted and given the issues that we're having to deal with in the inflation issue, the cost of living, I like to call it, rather than inflation, and the further toxifying of the border issue and immigration. Those two were it down here and in other parts of the country. And I think just the fact that I think what won was, I think, the whole issue of integrity, the democracy, and the issue, I think, that the young people and the Dobbs decision affected this election very much so as well.
You mentioned immigration, and I want to get this right into the mix here. The Associated Press reports the head of the U.S. Customs and Border Protection Agency is being forced out of his job. He's been leading the nation's largest law enforcement agency as the number of illegal crossings rose to the highest level ever recorded in a fiscal year. We're talking about Chris Magnus, former Tucson police chief. So Magnus had only been in there less than a year. I know you're just getting this news as well, Congressman. Just a few thoughts that you might have on this.
I think that... Chief Magnus is suffering the very direct consequence of what's going on the border, and as a from all ends, the pressure on him, and you're looking at an agency developed after 9/11 that has that needs to mature into the kind of law enforcement agencies that other federal agencies are, from the FBI to on, with the same transparency, the same kind of issues. And I hope that whoever replaces him understands that there is a culture to develop in Homeland Security and among Border Patrol, so that the function becomes the function that we see in other law enforcement agencies. You know, I hope this is not a response to one level of criticism, that it that not enough is being done, or that not enough is being done, but where the focus is. I think you're still going to need a disciplinarian in that mission. You're going to still need somebody that focuses on organized crime, and you're going to need someone that encourages transparency and accountability in the agency. I hope that mission doesn't change. Magnus was obviously not the messenger to carry that out, and he's going to be replaced. I hope we don't concede the mission in the replacement, and that's my only concern that I have.
All right, Kurt Prendergast.
Yeah, so that's kind of within the agency, the executive branch of it. On the legislative side, you know, in the next 2 years, you have a new Congress. What kind of bills do you want to see?
Well, I don't think we're going to. I think around the issue of immigration in general and security specifically, I think we're going to see if indeed there is a Republican majority in the House of Representatives, we're going to see only enforcement legislation. We're not going to see. We're not going to see the thing that the pragmatic incremental steps that need to be done to begin to correct this system, i.e. Dreamers, Farm Worker Modernization Act, that every agricultural and animal producer and dairy in the country are supporting. And yet those don't move. And I think there's I'm a comprehensive reform person. Mm-hmm. I think we need to do the whole thing. But I've come to the, you know, I'm a realist as well. And I realize that as soon as you raise any issue around immigration, whether it is deported veterans, whether it is tribal passage along the U.S.-Mexico border, how does that fit into the question? You raise those and you can't even move those things. And those are low-hanging fruit. I think the Dreamers is low-hanging fruit. Mm-hmm. I think farm workers and workforce issues are low-hanging fruit for the economy, and yet we don't move on those. I hope we look at those common-sense solutions for now, albeit that the big issue of reform overall for the country is, I don't think it's going to be attended to these next 2 years.
Low-hanging fruit. This next session, it may be difficult for Democrats to really get any low-hanging fruit through. Would you agree with that?
I agree. Yeah. I mean, I it depends, you know.
Give me an example where there might be some optimism, something that could get done.
Fentanyl crisis. We passed legislation. In response to that, it kind of floats in and out of the Senate. Revisit that piece of legislation. It is an epidemic. It is brutal. I've seen it firsthand, it's not something that we can just continue to hope that we do something about it. It needs an intervention, and hopefully there's around that piece of legislation. Also, I think the other area is how are we going to invest in some of the areas in which there needs investment, and that is along the education stream, community colleges, et cetera. And we'll see how that goes. But I think those are common area grounds around some issues for indigenous people are common area grounds. We'll look for those common grounds as a minority, but also, you know, that I hope that that with a 4 or 5 person majority, that there's not the sense that, you know, this is a mandate. It's not a mandate by any means. And so I hope they're wise enough, whether it's the debt ceiling or anything, to reach out and find out where that common area is. That's going to be their call. And we'll see what happens. But I anticipate, unfortunately, that's going to be a lot of overreach. I think they're going to try the investigations, rolling back some of the stimulus money, messing around with Social Security, doing things that will, I think, prove for 2024 that the conspiracy theories, the deniers, they're not capable of governing and they're not capable of solving anything. So I think that that even will swing even stronger in the Democrats' favor if they overreach, which I believe, given that block in the House of Representatives among the Republicans with Green, Biggs, Gosar, et al., how they're going to try to push their caucus into a really some very harebrained ideas that are going to put them in trouble. And that's the overreach.
Go ahead, Kurt.
Yeah, I just wanted to go back to, you put forth these solutions. You mentioned the fentanyl crisis, and that is one that I think has broad everybody's, yeah. We want this to stop. And you mentioned a bill that would go towards solving that crisis.
Yeah,
could you tell us about that bill?
We invested the piece of legislation that we had in the House, it invest heavily in treatment, intervention, and the prevention side, which is always the most difficult one. And I think that's got to be three-pronged. We're all already dealing with addiction. We're already dealing with the intervention and the deaths, more than 100 and some every day, it appears, in this country. And so those two are critical. But the prevention part, just like we did with a lot of things, to begin to invest in that early on with kids, I think it has to be try what we got, but deal with the emergency, but also begin to build seed that you begin to reduce its effect for the future with prevention strategies. I think that's the bill, and around it, you can talk so many ways, which gets emphasized, which does not, but there has to be some action on the part of Congress.
I mean, is there a border element in the bill as well?
That's the, one of the discussions that is, because now I represent the entire border in Arizona, and in doing so, one of the things I'm emphasizing is the level of investments, that everything you do around drug interdiction and prevention, you have to concentrate also on the border. Everything you do in terms of organized crime and gun running and dope smuggling and people smuggling, you have to put that effort into the border. I think that needs to be the focus. You need, we're not dealing here with some unsophisticated mule running across the border trying to bring over 500 pounds of dope. Mm-hmm. We're dealing with sophisticated organizations that manufacture and distribute these things in this country. And that's who we have to stop. And the other way is 70% of the guns confiscated in crimes in Mexico come from the United States of America.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's pause right here. Congressman, we've got Thanksgiving less than 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks to go. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, is gearing up for Thanksgiving. What about dessert, Congressman? They're taking orders right now at Mona's. Last year they had 900 orders, pies, orders coming in. If you had to make a decision right now about what you would like to see on your Thanksgiving table for dessert, what would it be?
Lemon meringue pie.
without
any hesitation.
Wow. that's the first. We've been asking guests here for about 2 weeks about that. It's the first time lemon meringue pie came up, but I got to tell you, I could go with that right now. Tom on the other side of the glass. Tom, could you? No. Tom wants chocolate cream pie.
Oh, that's not bad.
He's put his order. Now we have to ask Kurt, what would you go for, Kurt?
I mean, we'd have the classics of pumpkin pie and apple pie, but I wish that pecan pie would become more mainstream. That's probably...
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, that's one of the best.
For the pecan, huh? Mm-hmm. All right. Well, they take your order and be willing to take it right now at Mona's Danish Bakery, and they also will take the dinner roll order. So you get your dinner rolls from Mona's and your pies. Mona's open for breakfast, 6:30 Tuesday through Saturday, 7 on Sunday morning. And are you a big turkey fan, Congressman? Do you like Thanksgiving turkey? Or
yeah, I do. And but the added twist is that my wife, Mona, she makes a red chili from New Mexico with a little, you know, like the and I really like putting it over
the turkey
in lieu of gravy. It is.
Give it a little extra zing.
Yeah, she makes it pretty good. So, you know, it's kind of like, I probably put it over mac and cheese. I mean, it's good stuff.
Yeah. All right, we'll pause right here. It's the Buckmaster Show. Our live line number, 790-2040. Any comments or questions for the congressman, he would be delighted to hear you out. We'll be right back on Buckmaster. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com. Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studio. Our Friday Focus interview today, United States Representative Raul Grijalva. His victory on Tuesday marks the 11th time Congressman Grijalva has been elected to Congress. And in 2018, he became chair of the House Natural Resources Committee. Kurt Prendergast of the Arizona Daily Star is my guest co-host today on the show. Kurt is the opinion page editor at the Star. And our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line. Roberta would like to make a comment or maybe she's got a question for Congressman Grijalva. Go ahead, Roberta.
Thank you, Bill. Congressman Grijalva, you mentioned a number of crimes coming over the border and said they need to be stopped at the border. How do you propose to do that? What is the solution?
Okay. What's the solution?
Well, the solution is, I think, you know, what's the focus of the mission? I think that, you know, when the administration, the executive, or whoever the new chief is, asks about the mission, I think it's important to that be looked at. What is the mission? You know, the mission has been for the previous almost five years, been kind of a mission of whim. You know, let's focus on this. Let's move over here. Let's build a wall. Let's on and on and on, and around the issue of enforcement. But the mission also, I think, has to be what are we focusing on in terms of the organized activities that are going on the border, organized crime activities? How do you stop that? And those are organizational issues that you go after. You go after that organization. And so I think that's the focus change that needs to happen, a bigger concentration on that. And that doesn't take away from anything else. It's just that you have to look at the mission. And if the mission is deterrence, then you have to look at organized crime and you have to go after it.
Here's Kurt.
Yeah, so speaking of, you know, the focus and the mission, one of the things that we've seen over the last decade or so is marijuana is not really smuggled across the border at nearly the levels that it was before. I think it's like 1,000 pounds was seized in the Tucson sector last year. So how does that change the mission? What would you like to see the border mission change as a result of so there's not really drugs being smuggled through the desert anymore?
Yeah, I think, we've associated crime with anything that happens on the border, you know, and by that I mean you have unauthorized entries, people coming into the country that don't have permission to be here, and that is a function that continues and needs to continue. I understand that. What I'm talking about is when you criminalize everything on the border, nothing gets focused. And I think that's a good example you just brought up, that you don't have somebody risking carrying over 300 pounds to get it to a dealer to get it somewhere else of marijuana anymore. What you have now is the hard stuff. What you have now is the processed stuff, like fentanyl fakes that mm-hmm. kill people. What you have is no quality control on anything in terms mm-hmm. of what people are buying. And the list goes on. And that's where the money is. That's where organized crime is. And that's where we need to be as well. And I don't think we're there. We're still chasing the guy with 100 pounds on his back.
Kurt, do you have a follow-up on that?
Well, yeah, with the immigration side of it, you mentioned the Farm Worker Modernization Act, and that one's been around for a couple of years, and that seems pretty interesting. I was wondering, could you kind of tell us what that is?
It passed the House. And it's at the Senate. Essentially, and this was agreements by United Farm Workers, Western Growers Association, dairy farmers, ranchers, cattle producers, name it. Mm-hmm. Agricultural interest of all kinds. And what it really is there's a workforce gap, and it's affecting the economy. And it's been for almost four since the pandemic, and even worse now. And that goes to the point that H-2B and the visa system that's been in place is not working in terms of bringing that workforce in and having that workforce retained so that they continue to work there. So now farm worker says, here's the plan. It's based on labor needs. People come here 5 years. They can bring their family. At end of 5 years, they go back. Or at the end of 5 years, they then apply for legal status because their work need is required. And then we go back to where employers have a role in this decision as well. It just goes back to making it fair, you know, and to make, you know, what happens, people come here, they work, they miss their families, they bring their families with them, and now you have a generation upon generations of dream kids mm-hmm. that are not from here but grew up here. And so that's the cycle that you can break at least in this labor category, among farm workers and agricultural workers with that act. And I hope that that's something the Senate looks at during the lame duck.
Getting back to this really historic election, really the best midterm for a sitting president since 2002, and the best midterm for a first-term president in 40 years. But you also had, people, the old saying, well, people vote pocketbook issues. When you were out campaigning, were people talking that was their number one concern? What was their number one concern?
They talked about the cost of living. They talked about how much it was costing.
Mm-hmm.
They also talked about the fact that that people were getting jobs, and that was a plus. But the focus was on the cost of living. And yeah, there was a grievance about that. Mm-hmm. No question about it. And I understand, and I share that grievance. I don't think we did enough to control the cost of living and prepare to go back to work. You know, 54% of the inflation raised in this country came not as an issue of government spending, but of businesses and corporations raising the prices without any other consideration, supply line being one of them. You know, now you have the 10 biggest gas and oil companies making record profits that they've never made in their history during this period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think cost controls was off the table. I don't think the American people might not have an appetite for full cost control issues, but certainly in some sectors, I think the government needs to open that discussion and talk about that.
We have not talked about the effect on the environment, and this is something, you know, it's dear to your heart. As I mentioned, you're with the chair of the House Natural Resources Committee and have been now for 5 years. I'm just curious what this new House alignment might make to perhaps loosening environmental regulations.
They're going to try to get rid of what they can see pesky laws like the Endangered Species Act, the National Environmental Policy Act that allows public input into decisions.
Oil drilling
and open her up and categorical waivers. They're going to try it. They've tried it for 4 years under Trump legislatively, and it didn't happen. Because at the end of the day, you know, the issue of climate and climate change is getting worse. And the consequences of not dealing with any of it now, which is the Republican new attitude, they just avoid the issue. They don't deny it anymore, they just avoid it. And so I see them talking about deregulation as a means to energy independence, something they have done from their playbook for the last 10 years. And quite frankly, I don't see it going anywhere.
What is it? For the first time, we have a First Nations person, Native American, is the Secretary of the Interior. Has that been a good thing?
It's been a really good thing. Not just in terms of content, but in terms of, you know, the face we give to the world as who we are as a country. I think that's been huge. And the integration of Indigenous people, First Americans, into the fiber of this country once again, I think is symbolically very, very important and historic. I think what Secretary Holland has in front of her these next 2 years, certainly on the Resources Committee, with the Republicans in charge, will be, I think reforming internally and putting this department back together after it was dismantled by the Trump administration. I think that's the urgency right now. We can't wait too long for this to happen. I think that's from our end, that's what we'll be urging her to do. But in terms of where she's at right now, it's nothing but positive.
Kurt, go ahead. Kurt Prendergast.
So what springs to mind immediately for me is the Rosemont mine. If there is a Republican majority in the House, is that going to impact anything? Anything we should expect with regard to the Rosemont mine?
The founding fathers in their wisdom, had the separation of powers. And you know, like I said, it's going to be difficult to legislate this mine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be difficult to go around the president. And so I think that this is going to continue to be a point of litigation. This mm-hmm. is going to continue to be a point of controversy because of the way it started. Absolutely. That, you know, the public didn't know the consequences of it. And now the drain on water in this region has to become a bigger issue. And the protection of the Colorado River and its source, the Grand mm-hmm. Canyon, becomes even more and more important. And you'll get the arguments. Oh, we need to do mining near the Colorado River. Oh, we need to keep, we don't need to do conservation around the Colorado River. Well, that is backwards. And we're in a tough situation. And if something isn't done in terms of some voluntary actions on the part of the state of Arizona and the other basin states, I think then the federal government and this administration will have no choice but to mandate those reductions in water consumption along all the basin states. And because frankly, Arizona hasn't stepped up with the plan that mm-hmm. and California continues to resist. And so California's resistance can only be overcome by the Biden administration saying this is the way it's going to happen.
Would you agree with me, Congressman Grijalva, that the major issue facing the state of Arizona in 2023 is the water sustainability issue?
I think looming right down for the state of Arizona, if this legislature doesn't do anything before it's over or the new one doesn't do anything, is the massive cuts in public education that are looming over us.
Deadline is March 1st.
And those could be devastating to an already weakened system after COVID. And so now what do we do? I think that to me is one of the most critical issues along with water that's happening right now.
What about the Trump factor in this election?
I think it was a drag. You know, I think who were the winners in this election? I think the winners in this election were those candidates that tried to present content. And, you know, with our opponent, we didn't go after him. And not because he didn't deserve it, but because we didn't, you know, I think people are sick of that. I think they're sick of performance politics. And I think they lost. And regardless of what happens with the governorship here in the state of Arizona, the fact that if Hobb wins, it is a vote for sanity and for democracy in the state. If Lake wins, that's one of the part of the red wave that never hit the beach. You know, it's just not going to, nothing's going to happen. And so I think the election to me was good for the country in a sense. I would love to still be in the majority in the House, but it's good for the country. It allows the country to take a deep breath. And I think Trump raises his ugly head again for 2024, he's going to lose. He's going to get crushed.
Okay.
I think he was a drag, and the reason he was a drag is because I think people are now beginning to care more about the country than the personality.
All right, we've got a couple of calls and very little time left. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. David is with us on line one, Congressman, and he wants to talk about water conservation. David, real quickly, please.
Well, there are two things that are very detrimental to our water conservation. Number one is the Interior Department continues to chain and masticate pinyon juniper woodlands in our federal lands, mainly in Utah. And this disturbs large areas like 20,000 blocks of land, creates dust. The dust gets airborne in the wind and is deposited on the snowpack in the Colorado River watershed, and it causes the snow to melt faster you lose that storage capacity, which is impairing the storage capacity of the Colorado River. The other thing is growth is out of control in Arizona. They just approved Douglas Ranch, 100,000 homes. Can you imagine how much water that's going to use? We need to stop doing that, because if we continue on this road, scraping the desert, putting up houses so more and more people will move here, we're going to run out of water.
Okay. It's a two-part question real quickly, Congressman.
Yeah, I thought the...
About Utah and...
Yeah, it's the same question in protecting the Grand Canyon and the Colorado River. You have got to also put into that equation the watershed. What is bringing that source? It's water. And I think the gentleman is correct. You have to look at the water source, because that's got to be part of conservation protection as well. And, you know, Cochise has just passed its own Arctic management area for part of the county, 70% of the county, which means you must be able to quantify that you have enough water.
Wow.
And I think more and more of tying water to decisions you're making on land use has got to be the norm in this state, as opposed to what it is now. And because water availability, you know, along with habitat protection and all the other things we care about, but water availability is now raised to the top. And I think in terms of land use planning, whether it's Pima County, Maricopa, Pinal, whoever, that's got to start to get factored more and more into the equation.
Yeah, and we've been talking about that. I've been 35 years here in town. We've been talking about the growth and sustainability forever. But you're saying it's got to be moved up to the front burner.
Yeah, you can only have, you know, Pima County with its conservation plan and the areas it's set aside. It's done a really good job. But, you know, the exception needs to be the rule now, because I think that's the kind of planning the state has to do for itself.
Let's see if we can work one more question in. Michael on line two. Go ahead, Michael.
Yes, I'd like to know why it's not being more talked about that most of the copper from Rosemont Mine is going to China. The last I heard is they're kind of a belligerent and not really our friend, and it seems to be ignored in the media.
Okay.
I asked a question during one of the hearings in which they're people, engineers appeared, and my question was this, at one of the congressional hearings. Would you agree that the deposits that you extract, that you pay no taxes for, that they would stay in domestic use and would not be exported? And the answer was no. And the answer with every mine is no. And the reason is that most of these mines are not homegrown mining companies. These are multinational corporations, Australia, Canada, England. And so there's no connection to that. And so, yeah, it's 70% was for export. And that's where the money gets made.
Okay, so the swearing in of the new Congress, is that usually the first week of the new year?
Yeah, around.
So you've got a little bit
of a
holiday break coming up. Yeah.
Yeah, we've got a lame duck section. It's going to go all the way through December, and there's still business to do. If I may, please, real quickly. I would be remiss if I didn't thank all the veterans on Veterans Day. I was thinking of my compadre Vic, Vietnam vet, never talks about it, comes back, builds a life, and other friends that I've had through life in all these conflicts that America has been involved in. And I think sometimes we forget the social contract that we have with these veterans, that they put something out there that we didn't. And we commemorate it on this day and then on Memorial Day. But I think... the contract we have with them is as for their service, they deserve our attention. And I hope this next Congress, like the last Congress, provides veterans some attention.
Yeah, and that dedication today in Washington of the Native American memorial, long overdue. Congressman, thank you very much, and congratulations
on your
victory. Thanks for coming in. All right, the Buckmaster Show continues. A few comments I'll have with Kurt after we take a break.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Our thanks to newly reelected Congressman Raul Grijalva. 11th time he has been reelected for coming by the show today. And we also thank Kurt Prendergast, opinion page editor of the Arizona Daily Star. Kurt, boy, you've had a busy election season.
Yeah, we certainly did. Yeah, we had a lot of guest opinions, a lot of letters to the editor over the last like month or two. It's been pretty crazy.
Did it really pick up after the abortion decision?
Yeah, I mean, that was one of those kind of like cultural bombs that was dropped earlier in the year that kept reverberating. And certainly that was like Ukraine was real big. Right. Abortion was real big. In terms of the election, mm-hmm. I think the abortion issue drove a lot of the conversation. For
How
sure.
about the pocketbook issues?
Yeah, the way it played out on our pages, at least what we got, was a lot of people complaining about inflation, you know, justifiably so. A lot of it, those criticisms unfolded in the context of this Biden-caused inflation. So that was really the conversation that I saw on our pages.
Did you see a lot? And we spent quite a bit of time today talking with the congressman about the border. Was that one of the driving issues in the letters to the editor? Not so much.
Not really. I mean, the most
because if you looked at some of the political advertising, you'd think that was the only issue.
You're absolutely right. Yeah, I mean, what you saw was, you know, people walking by the border and all that type of stuff. But on our pages, like, what we got was, you know, the border's out of control, the Biden administration is causing this, you know, that type of thing. And we had a couple who were like, you know, we need immigration, you know, it's good for this society and all that. But it was a drop in the bucket compared to everything else. It just didn't, at least with our readers, it just wasn't that big of an issue.
So if folks have been waiting for an op-ed piece or send a letter to the editor, this might be a good time.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, as much as we had like this flood coming at us day after day after day for, you know, months, in the last week or so, it's really dried up. So I think maybe people are kind of in the state of suspended animation while the elections in Arizona play out. But certainly, you know, we welcome letters to the editor and guest opinion. So if anyone has that little itch they want to scratch, they should absolutely send it in.
Getting back to the border, and we are basically out of time, but you covered the border for a long time. And it just seems like nothing ever gets done.
That is the way of it.
It just never gets done.
Yeah, I mean, it's I mean, one of the things that I guess I don't know how much time I have, but one of the things,
just a quick few seconds.
I would love it if we could have a conversation about the border that is based in fact, and the people who are having that conversation are like knowledgeable about what the issues are, how what's the ramifications of doing this versus that. You know, we're talking about the political ads. I don't know what you're going to accomplish by having just like very scary stuff constantly. So I'm looking forward to maybe this time around we'll have a conversation that will end up with something productive.
Okay, and Kurt, how best way to get a hold of you if somebody wants to have something published?
You can submit it at tucson.com/opinion, or you can send an email to staropinions@tucson.com.
Thanks very much, Kurt. Have a great Thanksgiving, okay?
You too. Thanks for having me.
All right, we'll take a break right here. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, next up.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the DoubleTree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations, they receive no government funding. please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
And that little bump music is weekend watch music to my ears. It's been a long week, so I am ready for the weekend. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, presented by our friends in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Kind of a sort of a chilly day. It's over in Silver City, 53 degrees. I consider that to be like perfect outdoor, let's get out and do some hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, then go back to a really nice place to stay. And there's some great places to stay in Silver City, and then get a great meal in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, only about a 3-hour drive from Tucson. For more information on this really fun spot in the Land of Enchantment, visit southwestnewmexico.org. Here he is, food and beverage writer, award-winning Tucson publicist, our longtime host of Weekend Watch, Mr. Matt Russell. Matt, how are you?
Well, I'm doing great, Bill, and it's funny how just that little bump music can transport us all to a really big thing that we all deserve, and that's called the weekend.
We are ready for the weekend. You know, there was anything new on the playground? There was talk of a reopening.
Yes, sir, and it is official. Playground Bar and Lounge, they're going to be reopening their downtown doors today at 4 o'clock after being temporarily closed for the past 2.5 years.
Whoa.
During the pandemic. Yeah, so they took advantage of that time, Bill, to remodel and refresh the building. They doubled the size of their kitchen, which is great news for my fellow foodies. They've brought some new furnishings for not only the interior bar, but the rooftop bar. And their executive chef, he also used this time to craft a brand new menu that really elevates pub food to the level of gastronomic greatness. It's playtime, or what I call recess for adults, at Playground Bar and Lounge later today.
Sounds like you're excited about that new menu. It must really sing. I think there'll be some real nice offerings there for you.
I'm ready to dig in.
All right. Always fun to talk about our food truck community.
Yeah, you know, we hear about new food trucks around town all the time, but one in particular that hit the streets just this week is particularly newsworthy. Why? Because it's owned and managed by local newsmaker and one of my fellow writers at Tucson Foodie. His name is Jackie Tran, and the truck is called Tran's Fat. and the cuisine, sort of inspired by his Asian ancestry, is an adaptation of some of his favorite dishes around town. Korean cauliflower lettuce wraps, scallion rangoons, a whole variety of dumpling dishes and more. So he's going to be parked at the Hotel McCoy out on Silver Lake Road this weekend. So head west, and I say be among the very first to experience Trans Fats.
Yeah, get in line. With his reputation, there will be a line. People are going to want some of those eats for sure.
Indeed.
Well,
indeed.
We know our Mexican food scene is renowned not only in this country, but really around the world. Now there's a festival, I guess.
Yeah, there sure is. You know, Tucson has so many great Mexican restaurants around town, but one area of town specifically has more than 50 of them. So check this out. Last year, the Tucson City Council designated an area in and around South Tucson and beyond as, quote, the best 23 miles of Mexican food in the country.
Whoa.
And many of the restaurants on that now famous culinary corridor will be serving up samples of their dishes tomorrow in one place at one event, and it's called the Best 23 Miles of Mexican Food Festival. So this is going to be at the MSA Annex, which is adjacent to the Mercado San Agustin, from 3 to 8 p.m. So you're going to feast on tacos and fajitas, mole, raspados, sopes, elote, and cocktails at this great tasting experience, plus some live music and some beers. Tickets are just $60, so come hungry and prepare for what I think is going to be some seriously comida buena.
We will look for your work in Tucson Foodie and other places. Matt Russell, happy Veterans Day to all of our veterans. Hope you have a great weekend.
Absolutely. You too.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. Original theme music by our German friend, Christophon. Thanks to Rose Brandt and everybody that makes our show possible here at KVOI, including, a big including, my engineer producer, Tom Fairbanks, and the entire team at Bustos Media. Be well, everybody. Stay safe. Have a lovely weekend.